Empower Church, I greet you in the wonderful and the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no other name like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. What an awesome privilege it is for me to stand on the stage tonight, not as a worship leader, but as a minister of God's Word. I am extremely, extremely humbled and I'm honored. And maybe in the absence of our senior pastors, Prophet Gebhardt and Pastor Shannon, I want to honor them and thank them for this opportunity, for trusting me. I do not take it lightly. I absolutely do not take it lightly. But I believe that the Lord gave me a word tonight that will really shift your mind and give you a fresh perspective on God's grace. God is rich in grace and He wants to give it to you tonight. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go into it in my word, but He has already given you grace. It's for us to receive it. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm going to preach from, or my base scripture is found in Ephesians 2. The whole of chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to start off by reading the scripture, and I'm going to touch on a few verses as I go along. But you can just follow along in your Bible. We read from verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and allowing its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This evening I want to speak about the grace to grow. The grace to grow. One of the most common lies that the enemy tries to enslave God's people with is the suggestion and the idea that we have to do it by ourselves. I've had many conversations with many people, and it's particularly when it comes to serving the Lord or becoming involved in church. You know, you ask certain questions like, you've got a grace to serve people, why don't you join the ushering team? Or you've really got a gift of singing, why don't you join the worship team? Or join the welcoming team, you've got a beautiful smile. And often you get responses like, ish, I'm not ready right now. My life, where I'm at, I'm not at a good place. I'm dealing with so much sin. I've got all these negative thoughts. And they hold themselves back from stepping into what God has called them. So they use their shortcomings as an excuse not to serve the Lord. But God, who's sovereign, has a very simple remedy for this, and it's called grace. It's called grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is God's divine power imparted into His people to persevere. Where do we find this? We find this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, where Paul basically wrestles with God. Paul has a thorn in his flesh, and he has a conversation with Jesus, and he says, Lord, please just remove this thing from me. It's unbearable. And Jesus' response is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Grace is God's power. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got power. Grace is God's power. It is God's unmerited favor. It is God's expression towards his people, not because they are good, but because he is good. Come on, that's a good place to say amen. God's grace is poured out not because you are good, but because he is good. We serve a good father. He's a good father. Now, there's a kind of grace that you can receive from a friend or a family member. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you have to be the one to ask for forgiveness and say, I'm sorry? And this person says with their mouths, I forgive you. But you still feel some sort of coldness towards them. Their behavior changes towards you. You just feel some, you feel some harshness towards yourself. So they say they've got grace towards you, but they don't really show it in their actions. That, I guess we can consider that common grace. But tonight I want to tell you about God's grace. God's grace, which springs from abundant love. God's grace that says, I will have mercy upon you to the point where I will not allow you to receive punishment for your transgressions. That is God's grace, and it's called uncommon grace. It's a grace that you can't receive this grace anywhere else. It's only through Jesus. God's grace springs from his abundant love. Ephesians 2 from verse 4 to 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. In other words, God's love plus his grace leads him to have uncommon grace towards you. And the beautiful thing about this is that all of us receive this grace. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got grace. Tell them you look very graceful tonight. We find this in Ephesians 4 verse 7 where the Bible says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. All of us has received this grace. As you are sitting there right now, grace is available to you. Grace is available to you. What does grace do? Grace gives you the room to grow. Room that you cannot make for yourself. It's room that you cannot make for yourself. And I think it's amazing that Ephesians 4 verse 7 says that grace is a gift. And then when we link this to a scripture in Proverbs 18 verse 16, it says, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. So grace gives you no excuse to stay stagnant. Grace gives you no excuse to stay in your circumstances. Grace opens doors for you that you cannot open for yourself. You see, when you receive this grace of God that I'm talking about, it will put you in a position where you have no choice but to grow, where you have no choice but to excel, where you have no choice but to walk in the ways of the Lord. That is God's divine plan for your life. He gave you no excuse. He gave you no excuse. Grace eliminates the excuse to stay stagnant, to stay inactive, and to stay dormant. I want to maybe make a few examples from the Bible this evening about or of a few men who experienced God's grace. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, grace walks along the shore and finds two men fishing, Simon and Andrew. They were going about their day, they were fishing. And grace calls them and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Their response to grace was immediate. They dropped everything that they were doing and they followed grace. Later on, they become the first two disciples that will go on to preach the gospel that will save the world. I don't know where you might find yourself in the busyness of your life, but grace has the ability to lead you into destiny if you are willing to drop what you are busy doing and follow him. The Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's will that prevails. You have to ask yourself this evening, what am I busy with? And if you're stuck in a place where you feel like you're so busy but nothing's happening, you have to ask yourself, am I in the will of the Father? Because you can plan, but it's only God's will that prevails. Success is in His will. It's when you attach His will to your plan. It's when you align your will to His plan. That's when you perceive God's grace. In the book of Genesis, and this is one of my favorites, grace finds a young man called Joseph. Joseph was despised and sold by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was thrown in a pit. He was wrongfully accused. He was imprisoned, wrongfully imprisoned. But grace showed up for Joseph, and his perception, or rather his perspective of his circumstances, is what allowed grace to take effect in his life. And this is what he said to his circumstances. Joseph's response was, and he said this when his family eventually showed up. He says, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. God used difficult and trying circumstances to position Joseph as the savior of his people. That is grace. I don't know where you find yourself in your circumstances right now, but it is Joseph's perception. It is how he perceived his circumstances that allowed him to tap into the grace that was available to him. You might find yourself in a place where people lied on you, people sold you or sold you out, or people put you in a position where you are disadvantaged. You might feel disposed of. I want to tell you this evening, we learn from Joseph's story. It is not disposition, but it is reposition for destiny. It is reposition for greatness. Maybe in your circumstances, ask yourself, don't ask yourself, why is God trying to punish me? Ask yourself, what is God trying to show me? What is God trying to teach me? Where is God trying to take me? Maybe you are going to become the next king of the palace in where you are. Maybe you are going to become the next manager in your company. You might be at the lowest of the low positions right now, but God is repositioning you for purpose. You have to perceive His grace this evening. You have to perceive His grace. In the book of Exodus, Moses doubted God at every turn, yet God graciously guided him. God chose to listen to and walk with a man who in his youth killed another with his bare hands. That is grace. I don't know what wrong is holding you back this evening. I don't know what things you are dealing with about your past that is holding you back, that is keeping you in slavery or in bondage. If you are willing to receive this grace that God has given you, He's able to do something exceedingly and abundantly and above all that you could ever ask or think with your life. God can take you from wherever you are and promote you with just the snap of His finger. The sound of that snap is called grace. It's when you receive that grace, where God steps into your circumstances and changes it all for you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say grace. Just shout out grace. Grace. Hallelujah. David is a man who experienced abundant grace. David lusted. David stole. David fornicated. David lied and he killed. Yet God saw his heart and loved him. The key is he always responded by turning from his sin and repented. He always turned from his sin and repented, and God forgave him. That is grace. That is grace. The power in David's story is that it wasn't that he was so aware of his sin. It was that he was so aware of his need for God's grace. And I believe that is what led him to repentance over and over and over and over and over, because he knew he was imperfect. He knew he was not going to get it right by himself. And he was convinced he needed God's grace. And I believe that is what led God to call him a man after his own heart. Because he didn't try and do it in his own strength. He ran after God's grace. He received God's grace. And David became one of the greatest men in the Bible today, in spite of his shortcomings, in spite of his sin. The question is, how will you respond to grace this evening? Grace is on the table. It's available to you. how will you respond? Whether you saved or years saved, or whether you are unsaved, grace is available to you. How will you respond this evening? I want to bring it a little bit closer to home. You see, I knew a guy in Port Elizabeth. I knew a guy that experienced abundant grace. This guy grew up in an area where it was poverty stricken. There was gangsterism all around. This guy lived in an area where you can't step out the door without the possibility of catching a stray bullet. Dead bodies in the street was a daily occurrence. This guy grew up in a family of five and shared for his whole school career a house with only one room. Mom, dad, two older brothers. One room, whole school career. At the age of 14, grace stepped into this young man's life. He decided he's going to pursue the Lord with everything in him. He was literally going to give his life to the Lord. So much so to the point where his family couldn't understand, why is this guy always at church? He's more away from home than anything else. He comes home just to eat and sleep. The rest, he's at, if he's not at school or if he's not at work, he's at church. But you see, at a young age, grace came and grabbed a hold of this young man's life. And in spite of his circumstances, what no one else could do for him, grace came and took him out of that situation. And tonight, he's standing on the stage preaching the word of God to you. It's because of grace. It's only because of grace. He had everything counted against him. Well, now that the cat's out the bag, I had everything stacked against me. But because of grace. You know, one of my biggest testimonies, and I don't say this because to boast, but I want to teach you a language. When you understand grace, your language begins to change. Not because of your own strength or because of you are confident in yourself, but because you are confident in who is inside of you. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I love my two older brothers. We went to the same high school. They went ahead of me, of course. And they didn't do too well. And I have to say this gracefully because they are probably watching right now. I love them. They did well. But the expectation was that when I showed up on the scene that I would be mediocre too. But I said that first day of grade 8, ek gaan vir hulle wys ek is 'n ander Miller. I'm going to show them I'm a other Miller. Fast forward 5 years later, I become the head boy of the school. Not because I'm not trying to boast, but because I understood that I cannot do it in my own strength. It's only by grace. Grace has carried me every step of the way. Grace sent men into my life that became a doorway that caused me to be where I am today. That is what grace can do for you. If you're willing to just submit and surrender and say, yes, Lord, here I am. I hear you calling me. For too long, I've kept myself back because of my circumstances. For too long, you have disqualified yourself because of the mistakes of the past. I want to say to you tonight, you have no excuse because grace is available. Grace will step into your life and do something that you never thought could happen in your life. Grace is available for you tonight. The question is, how will you respond? How will you respond tonight? I believe God really wants to say this to some of you. Many of us sitting here tonight have perceived God's grace as a license to continue to sin. And the reason for that is, we've been so long in a cycle of sin that we thought that God is not seeing it. We thought that he's okay with it. And you think that you can get away with it. But you see, grace has a specific purpose. It's supposed to lead you to repentance. Part of God's grace is also his patience. He's being patient with you. He's waiting for you to finally catch a wake up and realize grace is staring you in the face. your destiny is staring you in the face, if you are just willing to let go of the smoking, if you are just willing to let go of the alcohol, if you are just willing to let go of the negative thoughts and step into what God has for you. Don't think because there's no repercussions for what you are currently stuck in that God is okay, or that He approves, or that He's allowing you. The only thing He's allowing you to do is to come back to Him and repent like David. The mistake that we often make is to think that because time passes by in our sin, that it becomes okay. Ah, it's okay. You get used to it. But we have to learn from David's life. David lived a repentant life before the Lord. He sinned over and over, but he repented just as much. He repented just as much. I don't know how long you've been saved, but repentance has to be a daily thing. You have to repent daily. You have to become aware of your need for God's grace in your life every single day, because it is by grace. It is by grace that we are saved. It is by grace that we are saved. Why grace? You know, the Lord is sovereign and He put this place, this plan in place way in advance. And it is for this reason. Grace is not because of your good works. Grace is so that you can do good works. Grace is not because you have been good. Grace is not there because you've done great things in your life. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that you can do to attain grace in any case. If grace was as a result of our goodness, none of us would receive it. Because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us has sinned at some point in our lives. But the grace that God has given us is not because you have done good works. It is so that you can do good works. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So there is a work, there is a call, there is a purpose which God had in place for all of us in advance. But He knew that life would happen. How many of you like to say that sentence? Ah, life happens. Ah, life just happened. God knew that we're going to come up with all these nice sayings to make an excuse for whatever we're going through in our lives. He knew that life would happen. He knew that we would become so distracted that we get steered away from the true call, the upward call. And that's why He put grace in place, so that we have no excuse not to live according to the call and live a life of good works. It's important to understand that grace is not there as something for you to strive towards. Like I said, there's nothing that you can do to receive it anyways. Because grace, you don't grab a hold of grace. Grace grabs a hold of you. Grace comes along and interrupts your life. Pastor Given some time ago preached a sermon on how God has a way of just interrupting your life. And many times when He does that, He's trying to show up with His abundant grace. He's trying to show up and tell you, hey, you are busy with dead works. You are busy with things that's leading you down a path that is going nowhere. Grab a hold of My grace and I will lead you. Grab a hold of My grace and I will make you. Grab a hold of My grace and I will take you to places you never thought possible in your own strength. But by grace this evening, it is possible. So grace grabs a hold of you. Grace is there to make provision for something that you cannot do in your own strength. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Turn to your neighbor and say, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Stop boasting. That nice watch you're wearing, it's because God gave you the ability to get it. It's by God's grace. Come on. The Gucci shirt, the nice car you're driving, you thought you were being cool when you bought it, but God gave you the ability. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. It comes from Him. It is by grace. It's only by grace. And that grace is available to you tonight. It is available to you tonight. There is no requirement for grace. There is no requirement but this: faith. It's the only requirement. Faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith." Through faith. In other words, when you rise up in faith in response to grace, you step into the grace to grow. When you respond to God's grace with your faith, you step into the grace to grow. That's when things begin to happen, because you think that until thus far it's been in my strength, but the moment you let go and let God and let Jesus take the wheel, that's when He steers you on a path that leads into true destiny, that leads into true purpose. It is when you let go and say, "Lord, I am because of your grace. I am who I am because of your grace. I am who I am because of Jesus' grace." The reason why I can speak about grace tonight is because I've been one of the biggest recipients of grace. I've been one of the biggest beneficiaries of grace. Nothing in my life that I have or that I ever achieved, I can ever take credit for. How can I boast? How can I ever boast if God gave me what I have today? How can I ever boast? I never ask for the people that are in my life. God sent them. God sent them by His divine order, by His divine plan. And it led me to who I am today. And I'm so glad that I said yes. I'm so glad that I said yes and I responded to grace. I would not be any other place than this place. I would not be any other place on a Sunday but in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. I would not want to be any other place but in His presence. For better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. It is in His presence that I love, move, and have my being. No one can give me abundant life. No one can give me everlasting life. It is only through Jesus. It is only through Jesus. The day I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior is the day my life changed for the better. The day I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior is the day I became who I truly am supposed to be. Is the day I found my identity, because I live in Him, I move in Him, and I have my being in Him. I've been created in His image for His pleasure, for His glory. I am to reflect His glory. I'm actually done. The word tonight is simple. Respond to grace. The word tonight is simple. You have no excuse to be stuck where you are. Tonight I'm speaking to the unsaved. You might be trying to figure it out yourself. The only answer for you tonight is to accept God's grace. You might feel lost and you don't know where to turn. I want to say to you, turn to grace tonight. His name is Jesus. But as many who have received Him, to them He gave the right to be called sons of God. If that is your desire tonight, grace is in the house, ready to take your life by storm. If you are willing to respond in faith. You might be here tonight and you've been saved for a couple of years, and you know one of the things that we as Christians, we become so familiar with God's goodness that we don't even realize how much grace we have. And we make His grace cheap. I made a joke with a couple of friends a couple of nights ago. I said, we were talking about a particular thing, and I said, the reason why we cannot show grace to other people is because we've forgotten how much grace we've received. We've forgotten where God has taken us from and what we have been forgiven of. That is the only reason why we cannot be forgiving towards other people, why we cannot be loving towards other people. And so if you are here tonight and you've been long serving the Lord or serving the Lord. But you've been stuck at a place where you're not going backwards, but you're also not going forwards. God's grace can shift you out of that place. God's grace can come and remind you what He has done for you, how far He's brought you, and He will also tell you what He wants to do through your life. Tonight, the call is for you to respond to grace. To respond and perceive your situation like Joseph did when he was in the pit, knowing that God was not despising him or forgetting him or punishing him. God was repositioning him for greatness. The first call I want to make tonight is for those who have not received Jesus as the Lord and Savior, who have not experienced this grace that I'm talking about and preaching about tonight. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to speak to those people who might be here tonight who needs God's grace to shift them from a life of dead works into abundant life in Him. If you want to be shifted from a life of purposelessness into a life of destiny, I want to ask you to take a bold step and respond in faith and allow this grace to wrap His arms around you and show His abundant love towards you and show His abundant mercy towards you. If that is you, I want you to come to the front and we will pray for you. We will lead you into this grace called Jesus. If that is you, you don't need to be ashamed. All of us had to make this decision at some point in our lives. It is available to you tonight. If that is you, I would be failing as a child of God if I did not make this opportunity. I'm just going to give it a few more moments. I'm happy that all of us are saved in this place tonight. I'm happy that all of us have accepted this grace. I want to make the second call. If you have been saved, but you feel stuck. You feel stuck in a life of dead works. You feel like your life is not going anywhere. Whatever you put your hands to, it does not lead to success. Whenever you try out something, it always fails. Maybe it's because you've been trying to do it in your own strength. Maybe it's because you've been trying to do it figuring out yourself. But I want to say to you tonight, God's grace allows you to grow because you let go and give it over to Him. If you want to come to the Lord this evening and repent and surrender of doing it in your own strength, I want you to not hesitate and come to the front, and I will ask the leaders tonight to pray with you. If that is you, if you want to experience, maybe if I can ask us all to stand while I make this call. If you want God to just come and refresh you by His grace, won't you step out in faith tonight? Won't you respond by putting your faith to God's grace? If you want us to pray for you, won't you without hesitation just come to the front and we will pray for you?